Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, September the 25th, 2009. Wheat tried to rally, and then it tanked. It did end the week lower. Is that the end of the marketplace? And what do you do with corn? It managed to finish a bit higher on the week. We'll ask those questions and many more today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, and Graham Utter of AgriVisor LLC in Bloomington, Illinois. Let's open our discussion today with this question. On the beans, many people are suggesting that producers go ahead and market their crop and then, well, I'm not sure what they want them to do with them at this point, but the question is, do you sell your beans across the scale as you harvest this fall? We'll start with you, Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group.
Well, I think the first question you have to determine whether or not you're going to store them at home or whether you're going to store them commercially. I think if you're going to look at commercial storage, upfront costs are too much. I think selling them across the scale wouldn't be a bad thing, and buying a call and just taking some re-ownership position in them. If you're going to store them at home, depending upon when you're harvesting, you know, we're going to have a slow harvest here, and basis, I believe, is going to get to be better before it gets worse, you know, in other words, before we get into true harvest. So if you're storing them at home and you're willing to put them in and take them back out, you might be able to take advantage of some good basis opportunity.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, I have to agree with everything that Jackie said. And I think that one of the things we do want to realize is if you can get in the field early, the basis levels are extremely tight right now. And even if you were going to store some at home, let's sell some of those across the scale and take advantage of the good basis movement at that point in time and store your later beans. As far as otherwise, I see no real reason of $9 to $10 beans to be storing them. We should already have a lot of our crops sold at $10 or better when we had the opportunity. We've got a crop out there called corn that is a lot below a lot of people's production costs, and I think that I would a lot rather use my storage for that. But and the question of reownership, that's a big one. Do you want to just take the $9, stand back, and use your money to buy options in the corn? But if not, why later on when we think we bottomed about 2 weeks before the end of harvest, why then I would look at possibly buying a bull call spread.
And then Graham Utter, what do you think about beans over the scale?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I definitely want to do the re-ownership position, whether it's a call spread. I think that the demand in beans right now, it's really hard to ignore that there's strong demand likely to continue into February. So somewhere around a March call spread is going to look pretty good.
So you're going to sell and just buy it back immediately. You want to sell, Wayne, and then wait for the bottom to hit and buy back, and I think that you're going to buy back immediately.
Yep.
Okay, so But everybody is willing to sell over the scale, so producers can make up their mind when everybody's one way. They'll make up their mind whether that's the right or the wrong thing to do. Soybeans ended this week with a high in the November contract, by the way, of $9.39¾, a low at $9.02, and a settlement price down 15 at $9.26. Next year's November contract, this is for 2010, settled at $9.06½. They were up 2½ cents on the week. From the corn pit, December futures there, a high this week of $3.40¾, a low at $3.10, and a settlement price up 16 cents at $3.34. December futures at $3.83, up 15¾. During the process of going through the closing market report on the week, we heard a couple of different options for doing corn and making sales. One of them was to do very much what we're suggesting, or what you've suggested with beans, which is to go ahead and mark it over the scale and then to replace it. The question is, do you think that's an okay idea? And I guess from my perspective, I'm wondering why I would want to do that.
Well, I think, again, we have to take a step back and look at, is it commercial or is it home? If it's home, I think a basis contract would be a good thing to do at this point in time, because we've got a favorable basis situation. We're going to have a long, drawn-out harvest. And so I don't see any reason for that to not play into the home storage. When I look at commercial storage, Todd, I'm seeing very large in charges, minimum charges to the first of the year. And I can easily say, sell the grain, buy a call, and it's probably, in most cases, not going to cost me much more than, and certainly not going to cost me as much as it would cost me to store out until July, and be able to take the cash right now, use that to buy discounted inputs. We have strong discounts at this particular time of the year. There's a lot of different ways you can add back to the value of that bushel. But I believe buying it back is an appropriate step, just because of the fact that if you're commercially storing it, you're going to spend the money regardless, whatever the market does. If you're commercially storing it, they already have your grain. You paid an in-charge. You're not going to pay an out-charge to take it somewhere else. So they, in essence, have the grain, don't have to go out and bid for grain. If you've made the sale, it's over and done with. You've got the opportunity. And then if they can't get the grain they want, you see futures go higher in most cases. So I just think it makes sense when you look at it from a money standpoint.
And when you look at it from a money standpoint, and it's just not you're responding to my question, but you really think this is one of the things producers should do.
I do think they should do it. And I think, you know, one of the things that we talk about all the time are min-max contracts. We look at a min-max contract, you're locked into, if you're going to buy an out-of-the-money call, you're going to spend probably in excess of 30 cents. That's where I think having the opportunity to do like a bull call spread, something like that, where you can have a fixed risk position and less money invested, is a wise thing to do.
Okay, Wayne, so are you in this camp, or are there other things that
there's a lot of logic in everything that Jackie said.
Right.
I probably would have some additional opinions, would be the best way to say it here. I'm thinking that, remember I said it and have advocated most of the spring and summer here, that we want to be sold up on these beans. Above $9 to $10 beans should be sold, and all of your home storage should be used for corn. There's two things going on, Todd. We've got a tremendously wet crop coming on. It was planted a month late. A lot of guys are really yelling at me. But remember, this is the same as August 25th as far as days in the ground in most cases. And we don't have, 18% corn generally in August. So, we're a month behind, and this moisture is going to be wet, so we want to dry this corn at home. It's going to be very expensive to dry this corn at the elevator or have it shrunk down like that. The storage costs are very high, so we're planning on putting this in. Now, along the way, we want to watch the close basis. We want to market our crop when the basis tells us to market this crop, not necessarily on flat price. And when the basis tells us to market it and we need to re-own it, then I like owning it with options if there still looks like there's hope out there. There's a couple of things we want to look at, or possibly re-owning it depending on when you price it. That is, we've got some real chances of inflation coming down the road. And number two, hopefully we might see our government get on the ball and kick this ethanol mandate up from the E10 to maybe E12 to E15. And if that happened, that would be very good.
Graham, you want to jump in on this discussion?
Yeah, I would just throw out that, everything makes sense that we've been talking about here today, that, selling it out of the field if we don't have the storage at home. I think my idea would be to diversify the sales and not sell everything maybe right now. I think the biggest question, the biggest fear out there right now is that with the later crop, we may not be at the bottom yet. Even though this looks like a good time to re-own, we don't know what kind of crops out there. We're just barely into harvest right now. So if we do see more downside, that's where you're going to be at an advantage right now to have those sales going into harvest here early, and then you've got a chance with the re-ownership position.
Well, one of the things, I after I finished talking, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, when you're talking about making sales, are you talking only on extra bushels, or are you talking on the whole crop? What are you asking, Todd?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, isn't it? I suppose you're asking about the bushels that you have not marketed yet, and that you have to put into the elevator as opposed to home storage.
Okay, so it's just excess bushels. I think in the then the answer I gave is the answer I believe in. You know, I'm just thinking about that, wondering what bushels are we talking about? Just
right.
Excess that we don't have storage for?
Is that right? Is everybody? Maybe I ought to go back and check.
No,
this.
I don't think that. I think that could be a question. But I think that what I heard or what I think what everybody's thinking about is. What are all my bushels I don't have marketed? Because that's what I said for store, I mean, along the way, because you have to be looking. Those are two different questions. And you can sell stuff and you don't have to fill your bins.
Right. And, well, back up. Are you suggesting?
Am I suggesting you do that? No, I'm just saying the question you asked, I think what Jackie said is different. I think that all of us are basically saying that you should take advantage of carry and storage and pricing for farther out if you have bin room at home for corn and have drying capacity and whatever to handle it. And I think that that's
right. But I'm not sure that that's the case. Is everybody – let me go back and make sure – are we all on the same
– I think so.
Are we all – fill your bins up first?
Jackie, are you?
Right. That's why I said due basis
contract. Okay. We all agree.
Yep.
Probably wrong then.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's twice now. We're wrong on beans and we're wrong on corn, aren't we? Okay. Well, I do want to go through some of the numbers and just because I was wondering about this on replacing with the options as opposed to going to commercial storage. So, Jackie, if I want to buy – what do you want to buy? You want to go all the way out to July?
Well, I like July because July is the end of old crop.
At what? You know. And I looked it up. 380 was 32.5 cents.
Right. Well, I'd be more – that's why I was talking about doing a bulk call spread. I'm much more inclined to want to have something that's at the money because I don't feel that we are necessarily going to get an explosive market. So a bulk call spread is a very appropriate strategy to use in that case.
Explain how that works.
You're buying something that's at the money. Let's say 350 is at the money. You're buying a 350 and perhaps selling a 380, 390, or $4 against it. You're giving yourself an opportunity to gain 50 cents minus whatever premium commission you paid for it. So if you have something that's at the money, your opportunity to gain is a great deal better. You know, and you're reducing your costs going in is what you're doing. Only appropriate if you don't believe this market is going to explode.
Right. So I did some calculations. I called Brian Stark at the Andersons here in Champaign County, and I said, okay, so what if we did a 380? And I think that we got this calculation right. That's 32.5 a bushel up front. There's 20 cents not covered, so I guess we're 52.5 into the hole, relatively speaking. Between futures prices and cash price, right? And then carry for storage, commercial storage, all the way to July 1. And I think if we bought for a July option, it would expire in June. So this would be just about right, was 42 cents. So you're a dime ahead if you store it potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the risks under both options? I mean – What are the risks to both options? So the risk to
– Well, Todd, number one, if you sold the corn and bought the option, you know what your net price on your corn is. You've got your bottom set. Let's say that we come into the next year and for some unknown reason, China, whoever, the livestock industry doesn't buy the corn, whatever, and the corn – happens to go down. It doesn't have to go up, even if it is below production cost in some instance by the time we've done this. We have had the price go down. That gives you a minimum price, whereas you just store the corn and pay the storage. You don't have to have the price go up, but you would go up on you would also gain on basis generally for July delivery compared to harvest delivery.
And Graham, you look like you wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, you know, what I'm doing with a lot of producers right now that have this same mindset that they feel the market could rebound from where we are right now, but yet they don't have the storage and want to make those sales. Like Wayne said, lock in that floor, but then give themselves upside potential is we're going out to March. It's a little bit cheaper than going to July. We're going ahead and locking in a basis contract out there in March because basis is still attractive out to that point. At that time, when that March call spread expires, they're able then to go out and deliver the grain, take payment on it, and then they can also go out to July if they feel like we're still going higher, and they can take another re-ownership position.
A final quick word from you?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is, you know, if you're buying a July option, you're looking at 300 days of time about from now that you have opportunity for that market to do whatever it wants to do.
All right. Thank you very much. Our panelist in studio today, Graham Utter. He's with AgriVisor LLC, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Another upper-level low spinning over the Central Plains this week resulted in much different weather than we have been experiencing so far this month in Illinois. Light and persistent southerly winds aloft funneled moisture northward into Illinois this week, resulting in more humid, cloudy, and occasionally rainy weather. Rainfall this week was generally light across most of the state, although last weekend torrential downpours in central Illinois caused some flooding. The heaviest rain was in Montgomery County, where 4.76 inches of rain were reported. After that event, only scattered showers affected Illinois until Thursday and Friday, when rain was more widespread, especially over the southeastern half of the state. Temperatures this week across Illinois were well above normal, although actual temperatures haven't varied much from the last 2 weeks. It's the normals that have been falling during the month. The big difference was cloudiness, which kept overnight lows well above normal. Normal lows for this point in September range from the mid-40s in northern Illinois to the mid to upper 50s south. Normal highs are in the upper 60s to mid-70s. A cold front sweeping through Illinois late this weekend will bring another chance for rain and a much cooler start to next week. By the middle of the week, high pressure will be located over Illinois, and sunny, warmer weather will be with us until late in the week, when it's likely another cold front will race through Illinois. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. This edition was recorded the 25th day of September, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today, Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Graham Utter of AgriVisor from Bloomington, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. On the line with us this afternoon is Roy Huckabee. He's got 25 years of experience with the Lynn Group. Roy's the principal of the firm and part of the management team, overseeing much of the company's day-to-day operations. He's also the director of market research for all of the Lynn Group's commodity sectors and authors the Daily Grain Fundamental Wires. Good afternoon to you, Roy. Thanks for taking time today.
You're welcome, Todd. It's fun to be here.
What did you think of our discussion up front?
Oh, I find it interesting that you've turned into a merchandising group talking about basis and where calls and puts are going to be worth and stayed away from flat price so much.
Okay, well, what do you think we ought to be doing?
Well, I think that we have a problem in the bean market. We've sold way more than we're going to be able to stem. Farmers are going to have to sell 70%, 75% of their beans in the first 3 months of the year just to keep the pipeline full. I think it's going to be really hard to talk him into doing that. So,
Okay, Roy, you said you think it's going to be hard to talk him into doing that. Why?
I think that prices are going down, Jackie. I think that we've got a big crop coming in South America. I think it could be as big as 130 million tons. It weighs on the back end of the market. I think May, July, just have a real tough time rallying because of that. We've seen a reduction in wheat acres in Argentina. We've seen a reduction in corn acres in Argentina. It's all going into beans. And now they're getting rain, so the beans are going to make beans, I think. We have to get them grown, and we're just now planting them, so I'm being unfair. But I think also that our bean yields here in the U.S. are improving and crops getting bigger. And I think that the farmer in the early times was more willing to sell beans. I think over the last 3 months he sold a larger percentage of his new crop beans than he has of his corn relative to the crop sizes.
Well, and I agree with that, Roy, but let me ask you a question. We always hear the talk of South America. You look at the exchange rate, and the exchange rate certainly doesn't favor a tremendous amount of exports coming out of South America. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, I got to back up. I don't think that it's exchange rate that affects the exports out of Argentina. I think it affects what they get to buy from their farmer. Or Brazil, I should say. Argentina's got their own set of problems without being worried about the exchange rate. Just the government's stance on taxes and everything else has become quite problematic. But, Jackie, I think that that crop will weigh on them, and it will get marketed. And I think if they've got, you know, the biggest crop they've ever grown is 119 million tons, and if South America grows as much as 130, which I think they can, even if the farmer does hold on to a little bit of it, it's still going to come into the pipeline. But let's back up. I think that the biggest problem we have is that we have sold so much of our bean production. We've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 650 million bushels of beans sold, and the government's talking about exports of a billion two, or maybe it goes to a billion three. We got to ship that, and we're not through yet. I'm very concerned about the GMO corn issue in Europe. We're not selling any beans, any meal to Europe, and the beans that we sold earlier in the year before this developed are being put on hold. There's been some beans that I know that have traded to another destination, moved from an EU destination. If they get this thing fixed and then come back and want to buy U.S. beans, whoa, we got a gorilla by the tail here, and that short tail is kind of hard to hold on to.
Yeah, and Roy, and I think one thing that I think about is with the large number of beans that are sold in the export market right now, aren't we going to have a higher price rather than a lower price to get farmers to bring those beans to market?
What happens if you don't get a higher price? That's why I say the size of the South American crop weighs on us. The size of our crop weighs on us. If the market doesn't rally to encourage the farmer marketing, how do we get him to market stuff? You tighten the spreads. You invert the basis. You make it more enticing for him to market stuff off the truck rather than put it into storage. So my point is if the board goes down, the more it goes down, the tighter the spreads get. And this could be one of those years when we see Nov-July or Jan-July beans trade at pretty big inverses just to keep the farmers marketing active.
Do you have a specific number in mind of how wide that might get?
I don't know. I think that Jan-July beans could trade at 20 cents over so fast it'd make your head spin.
Wait, so let me back up. And are you suggesting that farmers store their beans?
No, because I'm very worried about flat price. I think that you have to merchandise into the strong basis. I think that you sell basis contracts against the November. When the November gets to 20 or 30 cents over the March, you roll your basis to the March, but you're not going to make a lot of money holding flat price beans. I think beans in March and April and May could trade lower than what they do in October.
Right. So what you're really saying is the futures price is going to go down, that you think the cash price will be over that, but the futures price will be so much lower that they really
Correct.
Need to market their crop
Correct.
At this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you can make some plays in the spreads and you can make some plays in the basis. I wouldn't be surprised that our beans go to 880, maybe 850 here in October, and see them rebound into the mid-$9 range in December. But I'm very worried about what happens later on in the year. I think by the time we get into May, June, July, we could be trading beans at 750.
Roy, as we look at this, we always talk about big crops getting bigger. Two questions, really. Number one, will this corn crop get bigger than what we're looking at here in our next report? And number two, when do you think that we will bottom out the harvest low for the corn?
I think it's possible we make the harvest lows off the October crop report. I think that the USDA may make some small acreage adjustments, probably reducing corn acres and increasing bean acres. I think that the corn yield could be something like what they did in 97, where we get a 5 or 6 bushel increase. I think beans could be a bushel or so. I'm not sure they get a whole lot bigger than that.
Well, let me ask you this, Roy. You know, when I look at the deviation that the USDA has on their crop report, on beans, it's shown a 9.1% deviation at a 90% confidence level. That tells me we could have a crop of 2.92 or a crop of 3.54. That's a terribly wide deviation at this point in time, and that's one of the reasons I'm not so bearish on beans, is because I'm not sure that the crop that everybody thinks it's here, and even that the crop that the USDA has on that report right now, is necessarily what we're looking at.
When the USDA put out their September numbers,
right,
they were extremely conservative. We were still talking about an early frost, late September, early October. We've gotten by without any bad weather. Now, I think the crop's getting bigger. We do have a small area. It's not a small area. It's a rather relatively large area across northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, parts of Minnesota, where it's been very dry for 4 weeks. We're picking up some evidence of corn that has backed up a little bit. We're taking corn off at 180, 185 BPA, but it's coming in at 50 and 51 test weight. I think this is a part of the evidence that we can amass that our genetic corn crop has improved dramatically, because I normally associate good corn yields with high test weight. And here's a situation where even though we've got bad test weight, the corn yields have held up at 180, 185 BPA. That's a big deal. And I think if we were able to finish that corn, we may be seeing some of the same 220 or 225 or 230 corn yields we're hearing around the rest of the Corn Belt. I think that the corn crop's getting bigger. I think that it's had a chance to show off these genetic traits this year just because of lack of stress, you know.
Roy, what do you think the low will be in December corn this fall?
270.
And when do you think we'll get there?
After the October crop report.
Okay. All right, we'll end it right there. Thank you, Roy. We appreciate you being with us today. Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. You can visit them online anytime you'd like at lynngroup.com. Time now for a final word from our panelist in studio, Graham Utter of AgriVisor.
I think the big thing right now is we're heading into harvest here is for farmers to start looking at lacking in that basis so they're at attractive levels. Think about re-ownership and watch for that harvest low.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Quite a diversion of opinions here this week. We had a lot of people saying the harvest lows are in, and we just heard 270 for D's corn, so a lot to think about.
And Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group.
And I think it's just like all the time. You have to look at where your situation is and what's going to be best for your operation.
And that's this Friday, September the 25th edition of Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.